Good. Perhaps you'll turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 22. I did think of continuing with the ministry that we had last night, but then we have a meeting this afternoon in the will of God, and we shall continue in the book of Philippians then. We just got through a number of the earlier verses. I hope this afternoon that we might be able to finish off chapter 1, and then in the succeeding evenings of Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, we shall be able to glean a little from each of the chapters 2, 3 and 4. So there is a different thought that's upon my mind just at the moment. Will you turn with me to Luke chapter 22 and reading from verse 15. Luke 22 and verse 15, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, over into the next chapter, please. Oh, no, further down the chapter, and taking a look at verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, and was come unto his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Into the book of Corinthians, the first epistle to the Corinthians, please, and chapter 10, verse 15. Corinthians 10 and verse 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers with the altar? And he goes on to see the significance of what it means to be eating the sacrifices that were offered to idols. Into chapter 11, please, for the last little section, verse 23. Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. The word broken is not there. The Lord's body was not broken. He was bruised, but no bone of him was broken. This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. And we trust that the Lord will be gracious and bless his word to us once again this morning. A number of years ago, I was reading a book by a gentleman called Eidersheim. Eidersheim has written a number of books. I think he was a Jew and amongst the early brethren, and he wrote a number of books, and one of them, of course, is on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a delightful book, and it's well worth any one of us getting hold of it reading it and discovering the wonders that are found within that book. But he just goes through the life and times of Jesus the Messiah. Now, when I came to read about the occasion when the Lord Jesus was at the Passover feast, he said to me what was to me a very interesting thing, because he told me that on that table that day, just as you have on your table today, he said there were four cups, and at the Passover table there were four cups. Now, I must confess, I didn't know that until reading Eidesheim many, many years ago. He then told us what those four cups represented. He told us that the first cup was the cup of blessing. The second cup was the cup of the kingdom. The third cup was a cup of salvation. And the fourth cup was a cup of wrath. So that when the Jews sat down to remember the Passover of centuries before, they would take, each of them at one time or other, three of these cups. Because Mr. Eidesheim told me that they only drank from three of those cups. They didn't drink from the last of them. They didn't drink the cup of wrath. Now, I think you can understand that. Because, of course, as they took those cups, they would have raised them. And the first cup, they would have said, to the blessings of God. And each of them would have partaken, because they appreciated that the blessings that they enjoyed was because of what God had done for them. And all would partake of that cup of blessing. Then again, they would take the second cup, and they would raise it in anticipation of the coming kingdom. Because, of course, all Jews, they were hoping and expecting for a kingdom. Now, let me tell you, I'm looking for the kingdom too. For the New Testament teaches me very, very clearly how that we're going into that kingdom. And though that has been construed vastly differently as far as certain brethren are concerned, I'm afraid I must take my Bible. And the Bible makes it very, very clear that each and every one of us are going into the kingdom. We're going to go in a different sphere, of course, a different way. The Jews are going to go in as the fulfillment of the promises that God has made to them in former days, when he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob about the land, and he made a promise to David regarding the throne, and God promised the glories that were going to be seen in that coming kingdom. The Jews are going to receive those blessings in a day to come. When the Bible speaks of you and me going into that kingdom, you and me, we are going into that kingdom, child of God, to be sharers with the Christ of God in the glory that is his. And I love the numbers of verses in the New Testament that make it very, very clear that as we, the bride of Christ, are going to come back with Christ, and we're going to share with Christ in the glory of the coming kingdom. We are the chief rulers of that kingdom. The Bible makes that clear in the book of Corinthians. And again, that lovely figure of the saints of God seen as a city in the book of the Revelation. And it would bring before us the fact that we are the governmental authority that is going to rule in that coming kingdom. But we haven't time or thoughts to go into that just now. Just the fact that they raised that cup, and when they raised it, had they raised the first to the blessings of God, so they raised the second to the kingdom. Because they were anticipating the kingdom to come. And they were looking for that great day when the Lord would reign in mighty power, and the earth would be blessed as a result of his coming. And then there was the third cup, the cup of salvation. I want to suggest to you today that if the first cup would remind us of the blessings that come from God, the second cup would remind us of a coming kingdom, that third cup, the cup of salvation, I think that is the cup that we have taken this morning. We'll look at that in a moment or two. That's the third cup, the cup that we have taken, because it was that cup that the Lord Jesus took and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." We'll look at that in a moment. But there was another cup on the table. It was the cup of wrath. They were happy to raise the first cup, the second cup, the third cup. They were thankful for the fact that there was going to be a blessing, or there were blessings being bestowed. They were thankful there was a kingdom coming in, and they were thankful for the salvation of God. But would you want to drink the cup of wrath? I wouldn't want to drink the cup of wrath, thank you very much. And Mr. Eidersheim taught me very well, nobody drank of that cup. But though the wrath of God was coming, nobody wanted to drink of that cup. I want to suggest to you this morning that the verses we've read together, they would bring before us those four cups that were on the table as far as the Passover was concerned. And when we come to the first cup, the cup of blessing, that's what we read in the book of Corinthians in chapter 10. And you remember how that the book of Corinthians in chapter 10, it brings before us very, very beautifully the statement when the apostle would tell us there in chapter 10, the cup of blessing which we bless. All our blessings, child of God, have come from God. And I'm quite convinced that what we have here in chapter 10 of Corinthians is that first cup that was on the table. This has nothing to do with what we have in chapter 11. And though the two have been confused again by brethren, I'm quite convinced that what we have in chapter 10 is vastly different to what we have in chapter 11. Chapter 10 is that first cup. And he's telling us that all our blessings, they come from the hand of God toward us. But they come through the shedding of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that we have today is because of the mighty work at Calvary. I notice that in chapter 10, child of God, the great thought is communion. Now communion is a sharing, isn't it? We're sharing one with another. When you go to chapter 11, it's not communion, it's remembrance. You've just had an Anzac Day. Anzac is looking back. The Anzac Day is looking back, and it's remembering what others have done for us. But in chapter 11, child of God, it's not communion, but it's remembrance. And we're looking back to remember what the blessed Christ of God has done for us. It's interesting, in chapter 10, the cup comes before the bread. Because, of course, all our blessings, they come before anything else as far as the things of God are concerned. And then in chapter 10, we are the bread, not the Lord Jesus, as he turns round and says in verse 17, for we being many are one bread. And in chapter 10, he's speaking about the communion and the fellowship of saints, of the saints of God. He's speaking about the unity that marks us, and he sees us as the bread. And we've been brought into that communion. We've been brought into that fellowship because of the blessings that have been bestowed through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I see in Corinthians chapter 10, child of God, the first cup. Now Mr. Eidersheim didn't give me this, he just told me about the cups. But this I seem to work out, and I was very thankful for how I worked it out, as I could see in chapter 10 the blessings of that first cup. And we take it and we thank God for the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. But then the second cup, I think that's what we find here in the book of Luke in chapter 22, and that's why I read that to you, the opening statements of Luke and chapter 22, when the Lord Jesus, he said that he desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, the kingdom, and the cup of the kingdom. And he was anticipating, like they, the kingdom. And the Lord Jesus took that second cup, and he said, I'll drink no more of it until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God. The Lord was anticipating the kingdom to come. You know, as we were praying this morning, I couldn't help but wonder just why it is the Lord has not come. I don't know about you, but I got saved, you know, because I did fear the coming of the Lord Jesus. And it was that drove me to my knees, because I thought, 1951, where are we now? 61 years ago. I know I don't look that old, but I am that old, I'm afraid. And 61 years ago, as a laddie just a month short of 16, I bowed my knees to the Lord Jesus because I thought the Lord would come. I'm 77 now. Let me tell you, I'm still not looking for the undertaker. I'm still looking for the uptaker. And I'm still looking for the Lord to come. But I couldn't help but think this morning, child of God, why is it that the Lord has not come? Well, I do know the reason for that, of course. The Bible tells you in the book of Peter, doesn't it? 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible tells you God's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count for slackness, but is long-suffering towards God, not willing that any should perish, and there's a world of perishing sinners around us. And the only reason the Christ of God is on the throne today is because God's heart is still going out to men and women that they might be brought to a knowledge of salvation. I hope we're all saved here today. I'm not talking about those in fellowship, of course. I trust you are all saved. But let me tell you, there are certainly people that have broken bread that were never saved. But I trust that we are all saved. I'm just thinking of any of the younger ones that might not be saved. The Lord's coming. And a blessed thing to be ready for that glorious hour to bring us into that coming kingdom. That's where we are in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22. But then, of course, we have that third cup, the cup of salvation. Can I suggest to you that's what we have from verse 19 of chapter 22. And it's what we have in the Gospel of in the book of Corinthians and chapter 11. Because here we find, it says, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'm very, very thankful for a body that was given. But then he says, likewise also the cup after supper. So there's a vast difference between the cup of verse 17 and the cup of verse 20. And I take it, child of God, that when we come to verse 20, he's got that third cup on the table. The cup of blessing, Corinthians 10. The cup of the kingdom, here in Luke 22. But now, the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Take a look again, will you please, at the book of Corinthians, chapter 11. But it's very, very interesting how the apostle puts it. You notice how that the apostle says in verse 23, for I have received of the Lord. You know, the apostle had divine revelation. He had that divine revelation in relation to the gospel. And that's what you find in the book of Galatians in chapter 1. When he turns round and tells us in Galatians chapter 1 that he didn't receive it of men. He didn't receive it from men. No, thank God. The truth of the gospel for him came direct from heaven. And he had divine revelation in relation to the gospel. Now, we find that the apostle had divine revelation in relation to the supper. That's what we find here when he says, I have received of the Lord. The disciples didn't tell him. He wasn't one of those that sat down and broke bread with the disciples that first day. But here, the Lord taught him the great event that took place on that night. A revelation regarding the gospel, a revelation regarding the supper. And you know, when you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, he had another tremendous revelation. A revelation that caused him to be able to say, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given. The great truth, child of God, of the mystery, how that in this day and dispensation, and let me tell you, if I was this morning just wondering why the Lord hadn't come, I tell you, when I sat here this morning, I thank God as I looked at the different nationalities. I thank God. We were also reading, it was yesterday we were reading, in the book of the Acts, and reading that lovely verse when Peter, it may have been this morning, it was this morning, because it was chapter 11 we were reading, not chapter 10. But when he has to give an account as to why he went into the Gentiles and into Cornelius, went into Gentiles and met with people that he should never have eaten with, says Peter in chapter 10. The fact that God is going to save all men of all nations. And I tell you, it's a great pleasure to me. Here is a display, in a measure, of what we have in connection with the great truth of the mystery. When all the saints of God, different nationalities, I tell you, I detest it when I discover that certain people meet on national ground. And that's not of God, child of God. It destroys the great truth of the body. Here we are, we're one in Christ. And for me to have an English meeting, and someone here a Chinese meeting, and someone there an Indian meeting. They've done that in England, you know. They've done it in Manchester. Forgive me, Indian brethren. But one man has taken all the Indians out of the meetings, and they've set up a meeting under their own nationality. It's not of God. And it's robbing the saints of God of the wonder of the great truth that we find in the book of Ephesians. As Paul here, thank God for the fact that something that's been hidden from ages and generations now been made known. And says Paul, it was given to me. And to be able to show to the saints the wonder of the unity that is now marking us as we're all one in Christ Jesus. And Paul just couldn't get beyond that. That was another revelation. A revelation of the gospel. A revelation of the supper. A revelation of the mystery. And you know, even that part of the rapture that was obviously a little stumbling block to the saints at Thessalonica. Because one thing they couldn't understand at Thessalonica was what was going to happen to those that had died. The Christians that had died. They'd only been saved about a year. And yet within that year, numbers of the saints must have been taken down to the cemetery and buried. And they suddenly thought, is there going to be a partial rapture? There was a man that wrote a book about it, you know. And this man wrote and told us that unless you were living as you ought to live, and if you were being carnal, and if you were being worldly, oh, you'll be left behind for tribulation days. You'll have to be tested, you'll have to be tried. I'm very glad the Reverend threw that book out. Oh, it's still around. But child of God, your place in the rapture doesn't depend on you. And my place in the rapture doesn't depend on me. I often tell folks, a dear brother at home, when I was just a boy, he got a letter from a missionary. And he said, here, Norman, read this. And right at the bottom of it was just a little quote from Thessalonians chapter 4, if we believe. You know the verse, don't you? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. But he just put in and put the little commas around, if we believe. And underneath it he put, that's all we need to be in the rapture. Thought it was lovely. And that's all we need. If we've faith in Christ, it depends on him, doesn't depend on me. But these saints at Thessalonica, there was a little ignorance, you see. Because they didn't know what was going to happen at the rapture. They just thought the rapture was going to happen immediately and all the saints were going to go, then suddenly there's wee gaps in the meeting. Folks have been buried. What's going to happen to them? Well, I love Thessalonians 4. When the apostle turns around and says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It was a divine revelation. We'll not go before them. They're going to be raised and together we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Four great things, four great revelations that Paul had. And thank God for them. But here is one of them. And look what he says in verse 10. That the Lord Jesus, the same night, and you know, the strength of the original scriptures is, in the same night in which he was being betrayed. Judas wasn't there. The Lord is not going to deny on that first remembrance of himself. He's not going to deny what is going to be taught elsewhere, that this is not for unbelievers and so on. So whilst Judas was out and he was being betrayed, it was then that the Lord Jesus took bread and so on. Now, it's this little expression I want to bring before you in verse 25. After this manner also, or after the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, the new covenant. What have we taken this morning, child of God? The cup of salvation, that was the third cup on the table, this has become the cup of the new covenant. Now some would deny that I'm in that covenant. I want to tell you, I very firmly believe today that we're in the covenant. Do you remember that covenant? You'll find it in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. You'll find it elsewhere in the New Testament. That covenant, when God turns around and says, you'll not teach every man his neighbour, saying, know the Lord. We didn't have to preach the gospel today, did we? Because we're all here on redemption ground. And then, again, you'll not teach every man his neighbour, saying, know the Lord. And again, child of God, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We didn't make this a confessional. Oh Lord, what an awful sinner I am. No, the work of Christ has dealt with all that, thank God. And the covenant would just tell me that we're all here, saved by the grace of God, and our sins have been dealt with and will never, ever be brought up again. You be thankful for that. Took me a long time to learn. that your sins will never, ever, at any time, appear before the throne. There is therefore now no condemnation when you take this cup today. It's a guarantee that your sins are gone, and God will never call them to mind. We used to sing years ago, "In the sea of God's forgetfulness." That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. But I was in the Pentecostals then, and I don't think they knew too much, quite honest with you. I'm glad I was let out of it. Because I want to tell you, it's not in the sea of God's forgetfulness. My wife will tell you, I forget all the time. And I can't understand how she can remember everything she does. And it just amazes me. And she said, "You can't remember?" "No, I can't remember, dear. I've been there, I've done that, but I've forgotten all about it. So I just don't know, you know." But God doesn't forget. As a fiat of his will, God has put away your sins of yesterday, if you sin today, or if the sins tomorrow, God's put them away. And thank God, they'll never ever be brought up again. Your sins are dealt with, and that's all in the cup of the new covenant in my blood. There's one other cup. Nobody drank it. You wouldn't want to drink the wrath of God, would you? But I wonder, child of God, the cup that my Father giveth me, shall I not drink it? And I wonder if that fourth cup is the cup that we know in Gethsemane's garden. When the Lord Jesus, but when he was prostrate upon the ground, in the agony, sweating as it were great drops of blood, there was a cup that he had to drink so that you wouldn't drink it. And I believe that in that fourth cup, we have the cup that the Lord Jesus drank as he went to Calvary and he suffered for your sins and mine. Help us, may the Lord help us to appreciate the value of the cup of blessing, all that we have come into because of what Christ has done for us. The cup of the kingdom, the glory that lies ahead of us as we're going to share with Christ in the honour of the kingdom in that coming day. And again, the cup of the covenant, to know that here we are in happy union and fellowship one with another, and our sins will never ever rise to the throne of God, but only because the Lord Jesus, he drank of that cup of blood.